Chapter 30.
Sir Randy, said Weddle, wake up!
The guards bring another false cleric, even as I speak!
Randy had already been awake for a few minutes, but was trying to get whatever rest he could while his incarceration kept him from doing anything productive.
Now don't y'all try to make a break for it this time. Just stand straight and tall, and I'll see if I can sort this out.
Good morning, Sergeant Moore, said Hammerford.
They must have put their magic rock back in its container.
What's so good about it?
Boomed a familiar deep voice.
A full day has passed, and I still have nothing for the king. His Majesty likely thinks me a fool for having claimed to bear witness to a disciple of the new god. Throw this one in with the other heretics.
He stopped in front of the door.
Are the prisoners riotous?
You don't have to worry about them.
Randy knew that voice right away. It was Borgarth, the half-orc guard who'd escorted him to his cell the day before.
They tried to break out yesterday. We beat them to within an inch of their lives.
When the door opened, the prisoners stood straight and tall, just as Randy had instructed them. The half-orc guard was accompanied by a wild-eyed, shabbily dressed half-elf and Sergeant Moore, the big colored fellow who'd first witnessed Randy heal Denise. Before Randy could say anything, Sergeant Moore laughed.
This is what you call beaten to within an inch of their lives? You've gone soft, Borgarth.
Impossible, said Borgarth, walking into the cell. Half of these cretins couldn't walk yesterday.
Weddle pointed to Randy.
He healed us. He is truly oof.
Borgarth punched him in the gut.
The prisoner speaks not until he is spoken to.
Stop,
said Sergeant Moore, finally meeting Randy's gaze.
It's you.
Borgarth looked first at Randy, then at Sergeant Moore.
You know this one, sir?
Sergeant Moore glared at Borgarth.
This is the one I seek, you ignorant swine! This is the paladin of the new god! Why was I not informed of his arrest?
He wasn't... he didn't...
Borgarth huffed and blubbered a little more before he was able to form a coherent sentence.
We sought not to bother you. His description of the new god was almost the exact opposite to what you gave us. He described the new god as skinny and hairy.
Sergeant Moore furrowed his brow as he turned to Randy.
Is this true, paladin?
Like I was telling Mr. Borgarth and the other gentleman, I ain't never seen Jesus with my own eyes before. I was only going by artists' depictions of him and such.
These depictions sound nothing like the description given to us by the Prophet Goosewaddle.
You mean the professor? That little gnome guy?
Sergeant Moore raised his eyebrows.
You are acquainted?
We are, said Randy. He's a nice enough feller, and I don't want to get nobody in trouble, but I don't reckon he's actually seen Jesus any more than I have.
His description was confirmed by the High Priestess Delana, guardian of the Sacred Tome of the Gods. The image appeared on a previously blank page, just as the prophet described it. She declared it a miracle.
Randy felt his heartbeat quicken. He was almost afraid to ask.
What does he look like?
He is hairless and cherub-like.
Cherub? Said Randy. Is that like them fat babies with wings?
Sergeant Moore frowned.
The description I was given of the new god made no mention of wings.
Randy thought for a moment.
So Professor Goosewaddle described the new god as being pudgy and bald? That sounds more like Buddha than Jesus. I don't want you to take offense, but is he white?
He is.
Well, that's one mystery solved. Folks back home will be pleased, I suppose.
We have no more time to waste, said Sergeant Moore. You must meet His Majesty at once.
Can I ask a small favor first?
What is it?
Randy looked around the cell at his fellow inmates.
I think these folks has all learned a valuable lesson. How about you let them go?
These men stand accused of blasphemy against the new god, the god you yourself follow. They will stand before the High Court and face judgment for their sins.
Jesus would forgive them.
The decision is not mine to make, said Sergeant Moore. You may petition His Majesty for a royal pardon if that's how you feel your time is most wisely spent.
All right, I'll do that.
Thank you, Sir Randy, said Weddle. Good luck to you.
Borgarth glared at Weddle, but made no move to strike him. Sergeant Moore produced a black velvet bag from under his cloak and pulled it down over Randy's head, placed his hand on Randy's shoulder, and led him out of the cell.
Why I gotta wear this bag on my head?
Asked Randy. The answer was pretty obvious, but he was nervous and wanted someone to talk to him.
You are not yet authorized to know your way around the palace.
Sergeant Moore's grip on Randy's shoulder was gentle. He only applied slight pressure to indicate a turn. There were a lot of turns. They went up and down staircases of varying heights, around corners, sometimes even stopping suddenly, then turning around and going the opposite direction. Occasionally, the scent of food overpowered the old sweat smell inside the bag. From what he remembered looking at the palace from outside, Randy guessed that they had already walked much farther than what should be necessary to get from any one point of the palace to any other. Either Sergeant Moore was hopelessly lost, which Randy found doubtful, or this was an added measure of security protocol intended to keep potential spies or assassins from knowing the most direct route to the king. It occurred to Randy that such a measure might be counterproductive if used on a particularly clever spy with an acute sense of direction and a photographic memory. It would be just like handing him a map of the whole palace. He would have liked to share that observation with the sergeant, but couldn't think of a way to say it without it sounding like some sort of veiled threat. Finally, they stopped. Randy was grateful that he'd gotten a good night's sleep. A door opened in front of him, and the air which flowed out was cool. Randy couldn't wait to get the bag off his head and properly breathe some of it in. Sergeant Moore guided Randy through the doorway, and Randy heard the doors close behind him. "You again," said a man's voice. Any man who would talk so casually to someone as imposing as Sergeant Moore must be a king. "This is the paladin you spoke of?"
"It is, Your Majesty."
"Then for the love of the new god, take that filthy bag off his head."
Randy hadn't realized just how hot and stuffy that bag was until he breathed in the sweet, cool air of the king's audience chamber. Sweat ran down both sides of his face. The circular room was covered in white marble from floor to ceiling. 2/3 of the perimeter was exposed to the outside, allowing cool air to circulate the scent of hyacinth flowers. Randy knew he was at the top of the high tower. He'd seen the vines hanging down the wall from the outside. From up here, he could see clear past the city walls. A bald servant quickly approached and wiped his face with a cool, moist towel.
"Thank you,"
Randy said to the servant. He looked up at the man in the chair. He was dark-skinned and younger than Randy was expecting, maybe in his early 40s. He had a receding hairline, but a pharaoh's beard. Randy had no doubt in his mind that he was looking at the king of the realm.
"And thank you, Mr. King."
There were some snickers from some important-looking people seated around a large, polished granite table. The king smiled.
"Mr. King, I like that."
"You will address His Majesty as His Majesty."
Sergeant Moore was not smiling.
"I beg your pardon." Randy was sweating again. "Thank you, your majesty."
The king looked at Sergeant Moore.
"Has he provided a description of the new god to you, which matches that of the prophets?"
"There were discrepancies, your majesty, but I have witnessed his power with my own eyes, as have all those he was imprisoned with."
"Well," said the king, "if you can't trust a room full of criminals, who can you trust?"
"Your majesty, please, if you hear what—"
"Show me."
Sergeant Moore bowed low.
"Very well."
He removed his cloak, folded it, and placed it on the marble floor. He unbuckled his breastplate and set it gently to the side. Finally, he pulled his thick padded shirt over his head, revealing a massive brown chest. Randy forcibly pushed away impure thoughts, but wondered how far the sergeant was going to keep stripping down. To Randy's disappointment and relief, the strip show was over. To his horror and bewilderment, the self-inflicted violence show had begun. Sergeant Moore pulled a dagger from the sheath attached to his waist and carved a nice big line from his right shoulder diagonally down to his abdomen, painting the lower half of his body in blood, which spilled down and pooled on the floor at his feet. And ain't a one of them folks at the table said peep about it. The king turned to Randy and cocked an eyebrow.
"Let's see what you've got, paladin."
Randy walked jerkily toward the sergeant like he wasn't fully in control over his own legs. In truth, he was just trying to keep from throwing up. Why couldn't he have just pricked himself like he did with Denise? If it was meant to display how much faith he had in Randy, it was far more than Randy had in himself. Stopping at the edge of where the blood puddle was slowly expanding, Randy leaned over and was just able to reach Sergeant Moore's shoulder. It felt cooler than it should, and his face was paler. He'd better hurry this up.
"In Jesus Christ's name, I heal you!"
He forced the words out unceremoniously, but felt the magic flow out of his hand. The river of blood slowed to a trickle, then merely a drip. Warmth returned to the sergeant's shoulder as full color returned to his face. The king stared at Randy and Sergeant Moore for a long time, but his face betrayed nothing of what he might be thinking. He finally said,
"Clean him."
Randy was at a loss for what to do. He didn't have a towel or a sponge or anything. He'd just have to do his best. He spit in his palms, rubbed them together, and started wiping down from the sergeant's chest to his abdomen, willing himself not to get aroused. The man did have some fine, hard muscles. For all of his effort, he was just making more of a mess, smearing blood everywhere. Sergeant Moore, who hadn't so much as moved a muscle through this entire ordeal, now glared at Randy.
"Don't look at me like that," said Randy. "I'm doing my best."
Sergeant Moore jerked his head to the side, which Randy took as an indication that he should back off. Randy stepped back and found that two more bald servants had been patiently and uncomfortably waiting behind him, one with a stack of folded towels and the other with a basin of clean water. He stood with his red sticky hands held out in front of him while the servants wiped away enough blood from Sergeant Moore's torso to show that he'd been completely healed.
"Impressive," said the king. "Turn and face the High Priestess."
Sergeant Moore turned to his right precisely 90 degrees. An elven woman wearing a gown of aquamarine scales nodded her head.
"What we've witnessed cannot be denied. Truly this man acts as a servant of the new god, Jesus Christ."
The king looked at Randy, who responded with a nervous grin.
"I suppose a new god must take what he can get."
He snapped his fingers, and another bald servant emerged from behind a column near the throne. These little guys were everywhere, like the king's own Oompa Loompas.
"See that the sergeant is thoroughly bathed and well-fed. Sergeant Moore, you are dismissed."
Sergeant Moore genuflected in the pool of his own blood.
"It has been an honor to serve your majesty."
Randy certainly wouldn't have minded being thoroughly bathed and well-fed, but he had a feeling the king's business with him had only just begun. As the single bald servant escorted the sergeant out of the audience chamber, a swarm of them came out of nowhere armed with towels and buckets. Most of them converged on the massive pool of blood, but a few of them crawled behind the sergeant, mopping up his bloody footprints.
"What is your name, Paladin of the New Guard?"
asked the king. Randy thought it best to give his proper formal name when addressing a king.
"Randall Perkins, Your Honor."
The king cocked an eyebrow.
"I'm sorry," said Randy. "Force of habit. Randall Perkins, Your Majesty."
The king shrugged.
"Your honor has a nice ring to it. I'm sure I've been called worse."
He looked past Randy, but pointed down at him. Before Randy knew it, two little bald guys had wet towels wrapped around his hands and forearms. Instinctively jerking his hands away, he was shocked to see that they were as clean as they'd ever been. Even stranger, so were the towels.
"That was amazing," said Randy.
The servants bowed and retreated behind him. The king nodded.
"Keepers of the cloth have served the palace for 10 generations. They are trained from birth in the matters of loyalty, subtlety, and cleanliness, in that order of importance."
Randy turned to look behind him. There was no trace of the two servants who'd cleaned his hands. It made some kind of sense. They was even more subtle than they was clean. The king cleared his throat.
"If I may have your attention." "Oh, I'm sorry, Your Majesty. Go on." "My sources inform me that you frequent an establishment known as the Horse Head Inn. Is that correct?"
"That is correct, sir. I actually kind of live there."
"Forgive my curiosity, but how is it a man of such piety and profound moral character would choose to spend his time in a place of such ill repute?"
"That's where my friends are," said Randy. "I couldn't very well count myself a man of profound moral character if I was to abandon my friends."
"Loyalty is indeed important, but..."
The chamber door swung open, and a golden eagle flew into the audience chamber, screeching at the king. Randy let out a little yelp. The king smirked at Randy, then addressed the giant luminous bird.
"Desmond, you're scaring my guest!"
The eagle took a human form, so much like the king's, except for the pharaoh beard, that they might be related.
"He is right to be scared, Winston."
A look of concern broke the cool, casual demeanor the king had been putting forward.
"What has you so shaken up, little brother?"
"Tim and Blood's soul lives again. He heads this way, even as we speak, to make good on the promise he made to our forefathers."
The king maintained his serious face for a time, then laughed out loud.
"Are you back on the puppy?"
"Heed my warning, Winston. You must flee the city at once."
I will do no such thing. This is preposterous.
I saw him with my own eyes.
The king laughed again.
And how did you recognize a man you've never seen, who most sane people don't believe ever truly existed? Was he holding a sign? Did he introduce himself? Oh, hello, I'm Timon Bloodsoul. I've come to end your lineage.
Things had been sounding pretty serious. Randy didn't know who Timon Bloodsoul was, but he sounded like bad news. The king's humorous derision of his brother's news helped him breathe a little easier. He cracked a little smile, enough to show the king he appreciated the joke, but not so much as to insult his brother. Desmond's face was dead serious.
He rides the Phantom Pinnace!
Randy laughed out loud. Desmond's deadpan act had caught him completely off guard.
He rides the Phantom Pinnace? Oh man, why is that so funny? What is that, like a dance move?
He thrust his pelvis back and forth.
Look at me! I'm riding the Phantom Pinnace!
Both the king and his younger brother stared down at Randy. Neither were smiling now. The king even looked like he might have aged 5 years in the past 10 seconds. Randy held his breath to keep from laughing. The king turned to his brother.
How can you be sure?
I saw his junk in the moonlight.
All of Randy's held breath and laughter exploded out through his nose.
I'm sorry!
Tears rolled down his cheeks.
I'm so sorry! Don't mind me!
Who is this tittering buffoon?
Demanded Desmond. The king frowned down at Randy.
This is the only known paladin of the new god.
Oh, big brother, surely you tell a taller tale than I.
It's true. He invoked the name of...
The chamber door flew open again.
Your Majesty!
A burgundy-suited man ran in clutching a rolled-up piece of paper. The king rolled his eyes.
What is it now, Quelby?
This message arrived by Falcon from Port City.
Quelby held out the paper to the king, who snatched it out of his hand and unrolled it. The king's eyes darted left and right at an increasingly frantic pace as they made their way down the page. He let out a long exhalation and crumpled the letter in his fist.
What is it, brother?
Asked Desmond.
What news from Port City?
There is no Port City.
Desmond laughed nervously, as if hoping for a punchline to follow.
What do you mean?
10,000 orcs descended on the town in the night. They burned the place to the ground and commandeered every sea-going vessel they could get their filthy claws on. They're heading north along the Barrier Islands.
He tapped his fingers on the arm of his throne for a moment, then looked out across the granite table.
Balha, lock down Shallow Grave at once.
A tall, unusually handsome half-orc stood erect at the far end of the table.
Permission to speak freely, Your Majesty.
You may.
This will not win you any favor with the orcs of Shallow Grave.
That's why I need you to convince them it's for their own protection.
The men I would require for such a task would be better used fighting the enemy. The residents of Shallow Grave long to prove their gratitude and loyalty. Giving them this opportunity to fight alongside us as brothers would go far in integrating them into our society.
I'm more concerned with their actual brothers.
I have blood ties to Mevgar Shur,
said Balhar.
Do you doubt my loyalty?
The king put his hands on the arms of his throne and leaned forward.
That all depends on how resistant you are to following your king's direct order.
Balhar's fists were balled up at his sides, but he bowed low.
As your majesty commands.
He marched out of the room. When he was gone, the king let out a long exhalation, as if he hadn't been sure how that whole thing was going to play out. He looked down at Randy.
I shall expect to see you on the wall above the south gate. There will be much need for your gifts. For now, you are dismissed.
Randy raised his hand.
Your majesty?
The king sighed.
What? I was wondering, them folks you got locked up in the dungeon, you think you might pardon them?
The king furrowed his brow.
You mean the men who blasphemed against the god you serve?
Randy nodded.
Them's the one. I've seen a change in their hearts, and Jesus is a god of forgiveness. I don't have time for this.
The king waved his hand like he was shooing away flies.
Fine, fine, whatever. Release the prisoners into the paladin's custody.
He looked out at the table.
Sobin!
As Randy was escorted out, a man with a long white beard and a powder blue robe rose from his place at the table.
Your Majesty!
Summon the prophet!
Tell him to bring some more of those, what were they called? Roasted beef sandwiches? And more of the seasoned potato curls. We have a siege to prepare for.